L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Get you sexy, huh? Don't forget this Saturday, our college football game of the week, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It'll be a Big 12 matchup, Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. Kickoff is at 6:30 p.m. It can be heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and that's presented by Gary Force Acura. It is time for our weekly chat with Tim Hasselbeck, and we are indeed ready. Brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Tim, how would you handicap Joe Judge and Mark Colombo for UFC 255 this weekend? Who's the favorite?
Well, I'll tell you this. Sometimes I think some guys forget that if you played over a decade in the trenches, that might not be a guy you want to mess with. I don't know a whole lot about Joe Judge's background, but I hosted Mark Colombo on his recruiting trip to Boston College, and he was a roommate of mine, and quite honestly, he was probably one of the three best teammates I ever had, and I wouldn't advise anybody to get involved with him like that.
So you believe the reports that Colombo whipped his tail?
Well, listen, I don't know if that's true. Obviously, the Giants, sent something out saying that there wasn't a physical altercation. But if there were a physical altercation, which I would not advise or condone, I'd give that to Colombo 10 out of 10 times.
How does it get to that? I mean, this is bizarro land, you would even have to admit. Or have you seen a head coach and one of his coaches almost come to blows in the past?
I mean, I've seen guys get into it for sure, and kind of teeter on the point of getting physical. I mean, to kind of put it in, a little familiar context for everyone down here. Look, I was with the Giants, and Kevin Gilbride, was the offensive coordinator. And obviously, they were, I believe, the Houston Oilers at the time. But, Kevin Gilbride and Buddy Ryan on TV during a game, got into a fist fight. So, guys get heated in the competition. It is one of these things where it's not a norm. As much as people want to act like it is and try to, we're definitely trending towards a direction of making, the football workplace a more conventional workplace, in terms of how people talk and communicate and things like that versus how it once was. But look, it's not natural. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on in that work environment that don't exist anywhere else on the planet. So case in point, like people are hitting each other at practice, you know, albeit like in the confines in the, you know, in a practice environment with players playing a sport. But look, you got guys that are former players coaching. You have, you know, guys that are, you know, short tempered and aggressive, and, you know, and you have a difference of opinion, or someone's being called out and they don't feel like they're being called out fairly or whatever it is, then that's how it gets to that point. So, yeah, I just would say this. I don't, you know, I saw this, and, you know, I'll reach out to Mark at some point, I'm sure. But the part for me that, you know, I look at it and I'm like, dang, I mean this wholeheartedly. He is easily one of the best teammates I've ever had. And his playing career was unique in that he was a first-round draft pick, had a horrible knee injury, and totally remade himself, you know, remade his career with the Dallas Cowboys, ended up having a great career, and then immediately was hired onto their coaching staff, probably because they saw a lot of the same things that, you know, they saw in him as a player, as potentially a coach. And, you know, and something like this happens, if it in fact were a physical altercation, maybe it'd end somebody's coaching career. So I don't know that it's true. I don't know that it's not. But I do know that, like, he's somebody that I would implicitly trust and would love to have on my staff.
Interesting perspective. Crazy finish, you know, with the Titans playing on Thursday night. I was intently watching Arizona and Buffalo, and of course it didn't hurt that I have Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins on the same fantasy team. So obviously I was paying a little bit closer attention.
Yep,
that's right. And it, by the way, it won me the week, so just saying.
Yeah, I got you to 4-6. Good job.
Well, you're 4-6 too.
Ooh.
So.
We are. But I wasn't taunting, or I wasn't you know, touting my team like you were.
Yeah. Okay.
We're Chase and I haven't talked about our team very much other than,
no,
you know.
Well, I did.
We had Saquon Barkley, he got hurt. You know, okay. We're not making excuses. We're trying to battle through.
Okay. I did cut Stephen Kuskowski yesterday, so that was the big news today, Tim. Take us through a Hail Mary. Take us through that play. I was watching the show last night on Showtime. What is it? Inside the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were breaking it down, and they were saying everybody, I think it was Phil Simms, who said everybody thinks that's what Lamar or Kyler Murray was trying to do. That play broke down. He was actually looking for Fitzgerald. That was going to be a two-play sequence. Instead, it turned into a one-play sequence.
Listen, Simms is right. It's exactly what I said on SportsCenter immediately after the game. There's 11 seconds left in the game, and you're on the Buffalo 43-yard line. You're not. That's not last play of the game at all. Like, there's with 11 seconds left, you're not throwing a Hail Mary. You know, there's a really good shot you could throw a Hail Mary. If you throw it relatively on time because of where you are on the field, you can. You know, you don't have to buy as much time for a guy to get into the end zone. That shouldn't take 11 seconds. You know, guys can run, you know, 40 yards in just over 4 seconds. So they were trying to get a little bit closer. What's interesting about the play design, because they don't have any timeouts left, is you have Hopkins on the left-hand side, and he's running a go route. You have trips to Murray's right, and basically everyone is running some form of an in-cut. And it's really Fitzgerald that's going to be the most shallow in-cut runner, and he's trying to get across the field. And I think they're trying to just get Larry the football on the run to get out of bounds.
Yep.
And so they're running Hopkins down the field, you know, to pull the coverage out, and then here would come Larry, catch it, and get out of bounds. And now all of a sudden you're running your last play, you know, call it from the 35. Well, now from the 35, you maybe have a few other options in terms of what you want to try to do to get into the end zone. What ends up happening is Murray feels like he's getting pushed outside the pocket. He escapes to his left, and he essentially throws it up. At the time he throws it up, it's basically double coverage. The Buffalo Bills are playing too deep. They're playing like a soft cover too. So there's a safety to Hopkins' side, and there's a corner that continues to sink and carry with him as he runs into the end zone.
So when that ball is let go from Murray, it looks like it's going to be a jump ball between two players. What ultimately ends up happening because of the escape and then how long it takes the ball to get there, the far side deep safety also runs over and gets into the mix in terms of being able to make a play on the football. So when the ball actually gets there, the moment of truth is actually Hopkins versus what looks like three defenders, and he just jumps higher and catches the football. So, you know, it's funny, you know, look, coaches get a lot of credit for certain situations. Like, that was a situation where they weren't even trying to win the game on that play, but the players ended up making a play in that situation to win it.
Yeah, interesting. Good breakdown by you. We had Bernard Pollard on last hour, and I asked him about kind of all the Greg Roman talk. And, of course, he went up against Greg Roman in the Super Bowl when he was playing for the Ravens, and it was the 49ers offense that so many people were talking about then. Of course, their defense was good, too, just like the Ravens. But he kind of said this is more about Lamar Jackson and what he's not doing rather than Greg Roman. Greg Roman, he is saying, is limited. He has put together basically a playbook around what Lamar Jackson can do, and it's more about what he's not doing rather than the OC. Agree or disagree?
What do you see? I didn't hear exactly everything that Bernard said, but I would probably agree with that sentiment and probably agree with much of what he said. He's not throwing the ball great inside the pocket, and so that doesn't help. And then you look a year ago at some of the success that they were having. I mean, they were dominating the middle of the field with all these different tight ends. And because, people were scared to death of defending the run, they were getting a lot of really, really favorable matchups, with those tight ends. And I think I've said this to you guys before. The other thing that they were doing is because they were playing these three tight ends, and they were running right at you with big downhill backs, teams were forced to match them and try to defend that. And so when they would try to match and defend that, they're putting slower players on the field. They're putting bigger linebackers and slower players on the field rather than playing in like with a nickel defense or some scenario like that. Well, so now all of a sudden you've taken as a defense fast players off the field, put slower players on the field, and then Jackson ends up being the fastest player on the field and he's running with the football. So, like, there's a big combination of those things happening. The tight ends have been banged up and not as effective. People have started to defend some of these read plays differently, and he's not throwing the ball as well from inside the pocket. And then, I think part of what happens, too, is you get into an environment like you had the other night where the conditions were really bad, and it makes it harder to throw the football, even harder to throw the football more accurately. And that's hard to do, and I think it showed quite a bit.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck. So all that being said, we're still talking about a Titans defense that has struggled mightily. But for some of those reasons, I see it's such a different way that the Ravens do it even when they're playing well. I wonder if the Titans just welcome playing against a different kind of offense because they've just been picked apart by some good quarterbacks the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, it is a matchup league. And if you just think about some of the struggles early, like before they cut Jonathan Joseph, it was clear that people were coming into that game saying, okay, let's get in as much three wides as we can and attack this player because that's, as we look at this team and this defense, that's the player that we want, that we want to go after. So, yeah, it's a matchup league. I do think that, the Titans from a physical perspective, especially with how good they are in the interior defensive line, I think, going into games where teams are like, hey, we're going to challenge you by trying to run right at you, I don't think that when people look at the Titans, like that's how they want to attack them. So, So I think in some ways, yes, it's a different scheme, but also maybe a different scheme that you maybe just how your personnel is suited better to defend them.
As we look at the AFC East, and now the Patriots still appear to have a heartbeat, and it's kind of like a vampire, right? Just when you think they're totally dead, they've strung together a couple, even though they were very fortunate to beat the Jets. But I guess that's where my question goes. Do you feel like they're going to be in this thing down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, with more teams making the postseason, I think it's too early to write them off. And, you know, are they a perfect team, and are they going to turn it around like they have in other years? I don't think that they necessarily will. You know, unless something drastically changes with how Cam is passing the football. Remember, they had this is a team that had a lot of guys, you know, opt out of the season, and you know, they're struggling at wide receiver. They, you know, they're inexperienced at a bunch of positions on the defensive side of the ball. So, look, I could see them getting in because I think they're so well coached that they maybe find a way to do it by, you know, stringing enough together and then somebody else kind of stubs their toe. But, look, you look at that division. Here's what I do think is going to happen in that division that ends up being really interesting is the Bills are on their bye. So they'll be 7-3 coming off of this week. The Miami Dolphins, I believe, play the Broncos this weekend.
Yep,
I think it's a game that they should win, especially with, you know, kind of how things are going in Denver right now. And so now all of a sudden, that would be a 7-3 team. At this point, with, you know, defense and special teams kind of thriving in Miami right now, and, yeah, I think we maybe talked briefly about Tua's, you know, first start. You know, he really did nothing, but his last two games he's done a pretty good job. And I think that if he can make good decisions and make enough plays with how they're playing on that side of the ball, 7-3 with those two teams, you know, after week 11, that'd be incredible. And I think a legitimate two-team race.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We were kicking this around earlier, Tim, is – there are a lot of teams where you look at the record and you look at the remaining schedule and you're saying, yeah, they could get to 10 wins. And even though it's an expanded field, in the past, 10-6 rarely keeps you out. But we were wondering if it's possible a 10-6 game could get left out in the cold in the AFC because of how bad the NFC East is. And there are some other teams that appear to be going in the wrong direction. And so you start doing the math and you say, is it possible? That would be a tough thing. Think about the Titans, 4 straight years of 9-7. If they were to move up to 10-6 and not get in, that'd be tough.
Ooh. Yeah, that would be. I mean, I don't know that that would happen. I don't, you know, I'm just kind of looking at the standings now. And you
yeah,
know,
I'm with you. My assessment was I will believe that when I see it, when it shakes out. But there are a lot of contenders.
There are, but I do feel like part of what happens is this. If we just kind of like were to look right now and be like, okay, well, how different is it? Just quarterback position or other injuries, you know, things that, you know, where teams look differently now than they did at the start of the season. So, like, we still have a long way to go. And that's the part for me, you know, it's interesting. I know I've talked to you guys about this before. Like, I had a game canceled because of COVID 2 weeks ago. I had another one canceled this weekend. You know, I'm just looking at this situation where, you know, I kind of feel like in some ways we're going the wrong direction, and I just think back to what I thought about the season. You know, when it started, it was like, look, this is a marathon. You know, an NFL football season is a marathon, and being from Boston, like, I feel like we're like just about the bottom of Heartbreak Hill. You know what I mean? Like, we're over halfway there. But, like, the hard work is starting right now. And, you know, I just say that in that, look, there's just, you know, guys, you know, injuries or teams where it's like, man, oh, hey, Las Vegas, they started off great. But, like, you know, they could lose five straight. You know, they could totally, you know, kind of mess this up. Same thing with Cleveland or, you know, some of these teams that feel like they're in the mix right now. Look, I think Miami's doing a good job, but, like, it is a rookie quarterback. Like, maybe I haven't assessed that situation properly. So I just don't think there'll be a 10-win team on the outside looking in with expanded postseason.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst, also does some college football as well. So speaking of Miami, and what they been doing. It's not that the team is on the shoulders of Tua right now, but Brian Flores, their head coach, is he kind of where you thought he'd be in his second year, or is he ahead of schedule with how he's developed as the head coach?
I think how the team is done is ahead of schedule. You know, as you remember back, they basically were giving good players away. I mean, they were on a full reset mode, fire sale down in Miami. And the talk a year ago was that they were tanking, you know, but they clearly weren't tanking as a team because of the way that they were competing, but they clearly were kind of resetting their roster. So I was surprised that, you know, they had as much success as they had a year ago. Based on how they did last year, I'm not surprised that they've been having success, you know, so far this year. And in terms of, you know, how I thought he would do as a head coach, he's another guy that's a former teammate and friend of mine from college that, you know, I always thought he would do well. I think he has more self-awareness than people realize. You know, he was in line for some interviews and some jobs, you know, prior to 2 years ago, and he really kind of decided to sit back and wait because, you know, he wanted to be more ready. And I think that he's clearly ready now, and so in a lot of ways I'm not surprised.
So you mentioned the Browns. The Browns are a team that I look at and I go, okay, yeah, they've won six games, they're competitive, they're there, but they're eventually, everybody's going to wake up and go, oh yeah, we're the Browns, and they're going to fall off. Do you feel that way, or do you look at them as they could be a contender? We could be sitting here talking about a scenario where Pittsburgh and Cleveland get in from the north and Baltimore's on the outside looking in.
Well, that I do feel like that definitely could happen. But I do think this. I think a lot of what we've thought about the Browns in the past in terms of, just being the Browns and kind of drama and things kind of, you know, getting out of control and guys that you're expecting to play well not playing well. I think that that era has changed. I really do. And, you know, part of what Kevin Stefanski clearly has done is he's changing the culture and he's cleaning it up and making it a much more professional operation from the football side. It just was not. And so because of that, you know, they've started to enjoy some success. And if you just look at their upcoming schedule, you know, kind of to, you know, just looking ahead at how a team could do, teams that are still on their schedule that I would say, look, they're going to win that game. But they play Philadelphia. That to me is a win. They play Jacksonville. Then they have the Giants and the Jets. Like, that's four games where you think those are all games that they absolutely should win. Games that are probably not in their favor are Tennessee, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh. But listen, if they win four more games, here we go back to that conversation of getting to 10 wins. Like, they should get to 10 wins, and I think they've got a good shot at doing it.
So as we all monitor what's going to happen in Michigan, do you think that there's still a spot in the NFL for Jim Harbaugh?
That was a really good team, you know, teams that he had in San Francisco. I think he's a good coach. Good coaches, you know, doesn't always mean that you can ultimately get that opportunity again. I mean, there's only 32 jobs, you know, different owners are looking for different things. You know, so I don't know how that ends up working out. And I think that, you know, there's probably been some, you know, I think there's probably a reputation in terms of what he's like to work with. You know, cause he's not like a lot of guys. And so, you know, because of that, you know, I'm not sure, but he's been a guy that's taken a team to a Super Bowl. He obviously is a good coach. You know, if I were interviewing somebody, it would be hard not to interview him. But ultimately, if he ends up getting that opportunity, you know, I think I just think they're hard to come by. And I think there are other good coaches. I mean, just
like take whatever you think of Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett coached for a lot of times, got experience. Would you want to interview him? I'm sure you would, but does he get another head coaching job? Like, I'm not sure that it happened. So I don't know. I don't know that he does, but I think it would be hard to not interview him.
Hmm. You think he's at Michigan next year?
I don't think that you can lose some of the games that he's lost at Michigan and stay. I mean.
Saturday was a bad look on ABC. Bad look. Not that Indiana the week prior was good, but, man, it got worse.
It was 28-0 at halftime. I mean, it was brutal. Yeah. And, like, that just should – look, you may not have great years, but you can't get run off the field by Wisconsin. You know, that's
– not at home on national television.
No.
Hmm. Tim, good stuff as always. Really appreciate it. Have a great week, and we'll do it again next week.
Cool. See you guys.
All right, that's Tim Hasselbeck, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine there in Bellevue. We go from one friend to another. I want to talk to you about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. I've been going there for years. A lot of you have been going there. They've been around for years in this market, since 2007, helping a lot of you improve your quality of life. And I hope you want that as much as I do, especially as we all get older. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board-certified physician. His wife, Daphne, is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff would love to help you in a lot of things. They can help you in a lot of things. Maybe you've been feeling off lately. You haven't felt like yourself. You haven't had any energy. You haven't had any drive to do anything. Maybe you've been feeling off with your personality, your mood. You had some mood swings. Well, get in there and let them talk to you about hormone replacement therapy. Let them check your levels. See if maybe your levels have not, maybe they've dipped to an all-time low. Your levels tend to go down in most people as we all get older, and that can affect you in some of those, if not all of those categories. So you can talk to them about that. Face and body rejuvenation, obviously that's something as we all get older, like to explore weight loss management. This is always important, but it's vitally important in 2020 with what we've gone through, and everybody gets it. You've gotten out of your routine. And maybe you've tacked on some unwanted pounds you'd like to get rid of. Well, get in there and talk to these folks. And they've got people in place and programs that can get you headed back in the right direction. If you need to schedule an appointment or a consultation, dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or if you want to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com.
L-E-D-E-N-E-Z. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.